I already heard a few amens, but it is wonderful to be a Christian, isn't it? To know that we have a home in heaven and that our home is not here, as we heard this morning. We're just a passing through, and our treasures are laid up, amen, in heavens. Well, turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we were in 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning, if you were here. And now we're in 1 Timothy chapter 1, like those chapter 1s there. So, you know, if the teenagers, some of the teenagers here tonight, if they've got good memories, they'll remember we are in Timothy, one of my series, the book of 1 Timothy. We were in for about 8 months in the book of 1 Timothy. And now we're back in it tonight. But I want to share a message entitled, The Whole Truth and Nothing But the Truth. You ever talk with somebody and you had you have a conversation with them and you get down to the conversation and you think, I don't know if they're really telling the truth. You know, you're wondering, I know you say you can lift 600 pounds, but you weigh like 50 pounds, a conversation with somebody, they tell you, oh, this would be really, really fun. You know, you just got to do this. And you're like, it doesn't look that fun, you know. Are they telling me the truth? I had the opportunity several weeks ago to go with our seniors on a senior trip to a camp, and then we went on the way back. We experienced an escape room. Now, a few of the teenagers had done it, but some of them had not done it. And I remember I was trying to hype it up for them. We kind of talked about it the day before. I said, guys, it's lots of fun. My wife is trying to hype it up. You know, this is great. It's going to be amazing. We're going to love it. You get locked in a room for an hour, you know, and you got to find your way out, you know. And they're kind of looking at me like, okay, that's good. You know, okay, that sounds like fun. We'll see. We'll try it. We'll trust you. We'll believe you're telling the truth. Well, that escape room that we went to in Missouri, Springfield, Missouri, when we first got in, the lady said that she got us in the back room there, and she said, there's really no non-creepy way to say this. She said, but I got to handcuff you with real handcuffs, and I've got to blindfold you, okay? Is that okay? And the kids are looking at me like, hey, guys, it's fun. It's really, really fun. Trust me, you know. I can see all the kids being carted off into a van, you know. I'm blindfolded. Hey, kids, isn't this fun, you know? And I had these things going through my mind, you know, and I was joking with the kids, but thinking, man, it's kind of weird, you know, and sure enough, it wasn't those plastic handcuffs. They were the real handcuffs. And I thought, man, these people, if they wanted to kidnap these kids, they could do it right now, okay? So, where's my phone? I can't get to it. I got handcuffs on, okay? Lord, you're in control right now, amen? But, you know, we had a great time. You know, we escaped, you know, and I think they enjoyed it. But I know probably at the beginning, they're thinking, is he telling the truth? You know, is this really going to be fun? You know, that's a fun aspect when it comes to talking about the truth, but there's in the Word of God, obviously, there's an importance when it comes to us as Christians to know what is true in this world and what is not true, right? That which is false teaching and that which is going to bring people away from God and God's Word, and that which is true and is going to ground them and give them solid foundational, truths for them. So, If you've ever been to a courtroom scene, or you've ever watched maybe a movie or a show, you see in the courtroom scene, they say, hey, you know, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, right, and nothing but the truth, right? The person says, I do, so help me God. You know, usually you hand them the Bible, and they say, I'm promising to tell the truth. Now, that's very important, okay? In a court, if you don't do that, in fact, that can be a criminal offense if you lie in court, okay, on your oath. That's a very dangerous thing. So that's a very important thing. But you know, it's just as important, it's more important to know the truth of the Word of God and to share the truth of the Word of God. You know, the truth is a very important thing. In fact, in Jesus' the very last, you know, day of Jesus' life, truth was in question. You know, Pilate claimed that he wanted to know the truth. Now, he didn't want to know the truth, but he even claimed he wanted to know the truth. John 18:37, Pilate therefore said unto him, speaking to Jesus, art thou king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Hey, the truth, a very important thing. John 18:38, the next verse, Pilate says this. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth, right? You know, Pilate knew what truth was. He had been with Jesus. He had seen Jesus. He said, I got to wash my hands of this man. I mean, he is guiltless. He's got no sin. I can't put anything on him. I know that man in his mind, hey, there's something wrong. There's something that's wrong about crucifying this man. In fact, he tried a couple times to not crucify Jesus. His own wife said, hey, I had a dream about this man. He'd have nothing to do with him. And Pilate said, oh, I got to do this. He heard the truth, but you know what? The truth was hard to swallow because if he did what was right, he'd have repercussions for maybe lose his position. Maybe lose money, lose all those things. And the truth was too hard for him to swallow. The truth was standing right there in front of him the whole time. You know, look at that. The Bible says in John 8, 31 and 32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the what? Truth. And the what shall make you free? The truth, right? We need to know the truth as believers. John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the what? Truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. 3 John 1, 4 says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in what? Truth. You think it's important to the Word of God? You think it's important to God that we know truth? Now, where do we find the Word of God? Where do we find truth? I just gave my answer away, okay? Hey, we find it here, okay? Ta-da! In the Word of God, right? We find truth in God's Word. You know, the Apostle Paul could have started this letter in 1 Timothy with so many different things. Okay, he started verse 1 and 2 with the greeting. But in verse number 3, when he gets into it, he starts with this very important topic of truth. I want you to see here in verse number 3. I want to read this to you. 1 Timothy, in verse number 3. Now, he's talking to Timothy. Timothy's a young pastor in the church of Ephesus. There's issues going on in the church. Timothy's probably discouraged. He's probably struggling, as a young pastor would be. And in fact, we know he is. And Paul wants to encourage him. He wants to strengthen him. And so in this first verse here, he shares with him, hey, this is what's most important right now, Timothy, verse number 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, okay, Timothy, I know you want to leave. I know there's hardships here. I know there's struggles there. But I begged you, I told you, you need to stay in Ephesus. When I went in Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Okay, another word here we think about, we can take correlate these two words, truth and doctrine together, okay? Doctrine, the idea that, tell them the truth, okay, of God's word. Teach them. Don't let them teach something that's false teaching. In verse number 4, he says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which in faith so do. You know, the word of God, spoken in love and in truth, always edifies. It always builds up. He says, hey, You ought to do that. Understand, this is, you ought to share with them what the truth is. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some have having turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. I want to say, first of all, that the truth is important tonight, and Paul understood that to Timothy, and so he starts this book, and he says, Timothy, you have got to stick to the truth. You've got to stand by the truth. You've got to preach the Word of God, the truth of God's Word. You've got to let people know, hey, this is what God says, and this is what you need to do. We're living in a culture here, even in churches today, where they don't want to share the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You know, what they want to do is they want to mix some truth with some lies. And that's a danger that was happening in Timothy's life here. In the church of Ephesus, there was people into the church. They were coming into the church, and they were mixing truth. There was some truth in there, but mixing it with some lies. And so when people were coming in church and hearing these people that were walking around and talking in Ephesus, people were wondering, hey, is that true? Is that really true what they're saying? Is that true, those endless genealogies? Those fables, and people started questioning, saying, hey, what is the truth? And Timothy is there and thinking, as a young preacher, man, what am I going to do here? There are people that are messing people's minds and telling them, this is true and this is true. I don't know how to handle this. And Apostle Paul does something. I want you to see, the first thing he does is, I want you to see, the first thing is the charge that is given by the Apostle Paul. The charge that is given. Now, this charge, I want you to see a couple things about this charge. First of all, this charge is given as a great responsibility. Whenever we handle the Word of God, it's a great responsibility. And tonight, even before I preached tonight, I thought, Lord, I make mistakes. I'm human, you know. But by God's grace, I want to be able to share the truth as accurately as my weakened, frail flesh can do, right? I want to do that. I want to speak the truth from God's Word. It's a great responsibility every time we open the Word of God to share this truth. Hey, it's also, this charge that's given is not only a great responsibility, But it's also given here by Paul with great urgency. Understand, it's given with great urgency. As you read the text here, I know we don't have an auto, audio here. We get to plug in our headphones and hear the Apostle Paul saying how he's saying it to Timothy. But if you read the text, understand, this is an urgent message to Timothy. Hey, you need to stick by the stuff. You've got to make sure that there's no false teaching creeping into the church. Also see, it was given, okay, with guaranteed accuracy. This charge he gives is given with guaranteed accuracy underneath the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul's not making any false teaching here, okay? This is completely accurate. The word of God, the Holy Spirit is working in his heart, and he's writing this down, being moved by the Holy Spirit. Completely accurate. Also, I want you to see this charge is given with genuine transparency. It's given with genuine transparency. He's just sharing his heart with Timothy. Remember, Timothy's his son in the faith. It's like his adopted son. Remember, Timothy's dad was a Gentile. He was not saved. His grandmother and his mother were saved, Lois and Eunice, but his dad was not saved. And Paul saw something special in Timothy. He took him underneath his wing and said, man, you've got some talents. You've got some abilities. I see something good in you. And so Paul is genuinely concerned for Timothy that maybe he might bend, that maybe he might buckle under pressure from the people in the church. And he says, hey, I charge thee that you do what's right. You know, since the church has started, there have always been people trying to creep into the church and trying to distort the doctrines of the Word of God. There always has been. And you know what? That's not going to stop until the Lord Jesus Christ comes, right? It's not going to stop. There are people that will come in. You know, the church was no different there. You know, nowadays, though, when we get people come in with false doctrine, you know, if you're a pastor there, you can call somebody real quick and say, hey, pastoral friend, you know, my friend here, you know, over the town over, hey, I got some people in the church, man, they're riding my back, they're trying to put in this false doctrine, and their friend will encourage them, right, on the phone. Or you can send a quick text or an email. You know, Paul and Timothy, they didn't have email, okay? They didn't have this, you know, quick, pick up the phone, okay, encourage me here. This is a letter that as Timothy gets this letter, he's reading this letter, and he sees this charge that's given to him, and it's a personal charge to him to keep going, to stay strong. In Acts chapter 20, we see the church was dealing with this. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 and 30, this is what the apostles said. They said, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Okay, talking about the preachers there. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Hey, it's a warning in Acts chapter 20. It's a warning to the folks there to say, hey, be careful. I know when I leave, there's going to be people coming in that are going to the church of Ephesus, and they're going to try to do this. Paul was already preparing him even before he wrote 1 Timothy. He was saying, Timothy, things are going to happen, you know? This is going to happen here in the book of Acts. He was prepping him to deal with it. You know, the word charged here, the word charged that we have here, when he charges Timothy, is used 7 times in this book. 6 of them come from the same Greek word, which means to transmit a message along from one person to another. It's a command from one person. It's basically down the ranks. It's a strong military word. So it might be like a general, a 5-star general going down to a, you know, a 4-star general saying, you're doing this, you know, and going down the ranks. And the 4-star general saying, no, I'm not. 3-star general, you're doing this, you know, and giving that command and saying, you've got to do this. This is very, very important that you do this. And that was the command he was giving him. When he gave him this command, Timothy understood this is like a military command. It's a very important thing that I do. What was he telling them? He was telling them this. He said, first of all, you've got to confront them. You've got to confront the false teachers. You've got to correct them. Okay, you've got to correct them. And this is what he's saying here. You've got to charge them as well, that what they're doing is wrong. Okay, charge them. It's not an easy task, but he felt like Timothy had the leadership, and he felt like Timothy had the ability to do this. So he said, you can do this. You can correct these people. Here's a definition of doctrine to help you kind of think through this message here. Doctrine is the act of teaching, as active teaching, or that which is taught. Okay, so doctrine. That's where there's things that are being taught out there that people say, this is our doctrine we believe as a Catholic church, or as a Mormon, this is our doctrine and covenant of faith. It's what they teach, okay? And then it's what is taught. Doctrine for us, though, in the Bible, refers to the entire body of essential theological truths that define and describe what is taught as truth from the Bible. Okay, for us, we're not like Mormons. We're not looking at the Bible and Doctrine and Covenants and the Pearl of Great Price and the Book of Mormons. We're not. Our sole authority, sola scripta, is the scripture alone, okay, for our doctrine. So we want to know, we learn what is right, our doctrine, from the Bible. The Bible confirms, okay, confirms for us what is right. Jesus, when he was teaching, he taught doctrine in his day. Matthew 7:28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the Sermon on the Mount, the people were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished at his teachings. They were incredible teachings. They blew their minds because they hadn't heard the things that Jesus was talking about on the Sermon on the Mount. They've been living in this bubble with the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. And when Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, it was like, wow, that's different. That's way different than we've heard before. But it was good. In Mark 1:22, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not of the scribes. So Jesus is teaching, and they were astonished at his doctrine, because when Jesus taught, it was like, man, that guy has authority when he teaches. Yeah, he's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. You know, he has all power. And as he taught, they thought, man, his teaching's incredible. Matthew 16:12, they understood how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So there was good doctrine, and then there's the Sadducees and Pharisees, bad doctrine, right? Bad teaching. Acts chapter 2, the start of the church, Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, okay, what they had learned from the Lord Jesus Christ, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. So he's teaching them. He's teaching them truth. Jesus Christ was doing that, and it trickled down to the disciples, to the apostles, and they began to spread the truth of God's word. The teaching that God has entrusted the apostles with was not to have anything added to it or anything taken away from it or anything mixed with it that was not from the word of God. So in this passage of scripture in 1 Timothy, we see here what was Timothy dealing with. He was dealing with two specific different types of false teaching. So look at your Bibles there in 1 Timothy, if you would, and look here what he says. He says in verse number 4, neither give heed to fables. Okay, so fables, when you hear the word fables, again, it's my young juvenile mind. Okay, I always think about Aesop's fables, right? Aesop's fables and the stories. Well, that's close. Okay, that is the idea. There were fables back in those days that they would actually tell stories. They weren't true stories, but again, they would kind of have a little bit of truth in them. They would mix Christianity a lot of times in these fables, so they'd make them sound good. They'd tell these stories, but they wouldn't be true at all. But they might add a little Christian, you know, truth in it. You know, to kind of just, you know, help people think about maybe that could be true. So that was part of what they were doing. They were sharing it, and it helped, it hurt people because they weren't sure, okay, what's true, what's not true. It was a fable. It was a story that was false. But the other one is endless genealogies. And so they would, endless genealogies are exactly what it sounds like. They would go through what we would call today our family tree. And these were Jewish folks. They were Judaizers. And so one thing, as they were in the church there, one thing they were still proud of, one thing they were still holding on to was the fact that we're Jewish, and we have a good family tree. Hey, mom and papa, they were good people. You know, grandpa, you know, grandma, they were great people. And so they were holding on the fact, and they were talking about these endless genealogies and talking about, man, this person was my family tree, and this person, man, they were really good. And they were looking at that. And so Timothy's dealing with these false doctrines. Now, we don't deal with those same things today, the same thing, fables and endless genealogies. But we definitely deal with a lot of false doctrines coming to church. You know, Pastor mentioned it just a few weeks ago on Sunday morning, talking about critical race theory, right? I mean, thinking about this, the idea that the idea that you have to apologize for your race. You know, if you're an oppressor, you apologize. The problem with that is there are churches that are buying into that and saying, you know what? Oh, woe is me. You know what? I'm oppressing people. You know, I'm white. I'm oppressing people. That's why I oppress people. No, you oppress people because you're a sinner. It doesn't matter your skin. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter where you came from. You oppress people because you're a sinner. And there are people from every skin color and every race that oppress people, okay? There are people that do that and sin. But there are churches now that are buying into it. There are even friends of mine, sadly, that are saying, you know what? This is true. We ought to be woke. You know, it's kind of the word. We ought to be woke. We ought to be into the times. We ought to be seeing what's going on in the culture so we can reach these people. You're not reaching those people by trying to put this false teaching in there. You know what you're doing? You're confusing those people. Yeah. It's like the endless genealogies. It's like the fables, and you're mixing these things that are false, these things that have nothing to do with Jesus Christ. In fact, they're against Jesus Christ, against the truth of God's word. And now people are wondering, I just don't understand that. I don't understand it because guess what? It's not in the word of God. It's against the word of God. You know, critical race theory is a dangerous, dangerous thing. So there's other things we can look at. We can look at other things that creep in the church, different doctrines that can creep in at times, and there have been church splits over some crazy false doctrines that have come in over the years. But you got to be careful, and that's why Paul was urgent and said, you've got to make sure that you don't let this in. Because you know what that does? False teaching always does something. It always ministers questions. It always ministers questions where people are wondering, and Paul says, hey, they're going to have questions. They're going to be like, well, I don't understand that. When someone does false teaching, you walk away and you think, man, I don't get half of what they were saying. Man, I don't understand that. Even going back to critical race theory in my mind, you know, I was talking with Josh Burkle about it and Pastor some weeks ago, and I was telling him, what's that one of them that I watched a video, I was more confused afterwards than when before, you know? I just didn't understand the different things that are going on. Why? Because there's no clear-cut answers. Hey, when you get to the Word of God, there are clear-cut answers for people's sin problems. Hey, there's clear-cut answers for people learning how to deal with stress, learning how to deal with issues in their life. There's clear-cut answers for showing you direction and purpose to your life. But when you get away from the truth of God's Word, you're on a dangerous path where you're going to be confused and spend your time asking questions. You know, I had a friend of mine who was sharing the gospel, a young believer was sharing the gospel with a friend of his at work, and he was texting me. And he said, man, I have a friend of mine who they baptize their children at infancy. You know, infancy. And he says, that's what the Bible teaches, you know. And so I text him back and says, no, it doesn't. you know, real quick. And so we had this conversation back and forth. And so I was texting him and explaining to him, you know, that obviously salvation comes first and then baptism. You know, then a person. Okay, baptism is identification, you know, that you are a Christian, you're saved. So it's confusing to people, right? It's confusing to people why someone would get sprinkled as a baby when they've never been saved. It's confusing to get sprinkled when the Bible's word for baptized means to submerge. That's very confusing to people. Okay, you can understand that. So I explained that to the man, you know, to my friend. And so my friend, you know, being a young believer, he just said, oh, by the way, I think he said to my youth pastor, whatever, but says you're wrong. You know, he said, the guy was, you know, different denomination, said, here's what the Bible says. And I explained to him, don't make it about this denomination. Make it about the Bible. Okay, so then I explained it to him and worked him through it. And he did that. He worked him through it. And then he texted me back and said, man, this guy has some great questions. And I was able to answer those questions through what you told me through the Word of God. I said, good. That's great. But why? The Word of God will give you answers. It'll give you clear answers. And you can make a decision whether you want to obey the Word of God, whether you want to believe the Word of God. But we ought to be able to understand, hey, there is an important thing in the Word of God, and it's truth. It's doctrine. You know, truth is not based on how you feel, but on what the Word of God teaches. It does matter what the Word of God says. There are people that want to cut out portions of the Word of God. Romans chapter 1, I'm telling you, a homosexual would like to just cut the whole section out. Beginning Genesis, pastor's been preaching over the last couple of years, right, on Genesis. They just want to cut out, you know, the fact that we are created in the image of God, that God created the world. I'd like to cut those passage scripture out, but that's truth, the Word of God. Truth is essential. You know, there's very few people in this world that enjoy confrontation, and I'm definitely one of those people that does not like to confront people. But there are times as believers that we need to confront people and say, hey, that's not true. That's not right. It's important that you understand that what you say is truth and what you believe is wrong. Why? Because their eternity could hang in the balance. There are people that don't know, okay? There's people that truly are confused, and they need to hear the truth of God's word. So we see, first of all, he tells them here's the charge that he gives them. He gives them the charge. I want you to see number two. Number two, the goal of the charge that is given. You know that the Apostle Paul has a goal. When he gives this charge to Timothy, yes, he wants him to go after those teachers. But he has a specific goal. It's a twofold goal here. And I want you to see it. First of all, it's correction. It's correction. It is a very dangerous thing to attach something to the Lord's name and to claim it as gospel truth. It's a very dangerous thing to claim something as a believer, whether it's you or me, and to say, this is what Jesus says. This is what the Bible says. And people look at it and say, I don't see the Bible. It's a very, very dangerous thing. You know, I was talking to a couple Mormons several years ago, and the Mormons were sharing, you know, what they believed. And I told them flat out, I said, you know, I don't believe that. I said, you know, I've done some, you know, some studying on what you guys believe, and here's why I don't agree with you. Here's what the Bible says. And I explained to them several things about where it didn't line up with the Bible. And I got done, and the older of the two Mormons, I said, so when you get to a point where the Bible does not agree with the Doctrine and Covenants and the Prologate Price, and it doesn't agree with all, you know, your teachers, what do you go with? And they said, he told me this. He said, well, the Bible is really last on the list of all five that we have. I said, well, that's the difference. I said, the Bible is the first and the only for me. Yeah. I said, that's where we get our authority. You know, I wanted them to understand. There's a correction there. There's a correction. People have to understand. They need to know that. You know, doctrine is not just for the head. Doctrine is for the heart. Doctrine ought to change your life. Truth will change your life. It's for correction, right? What is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's for us to be corrected ourselves. We need the word of God ourselves, not just false cults and false religions, but we need the word of God at times to correct us and show us, oh man, I've gone astray, I've gone away from the Lord. That's what the word of God does for us. I want to see a second reason here, though, we see is it's also charity. He also, his second goal is love. He says the goal of the charge given is, hey, you've got to correct, but Timothy, you got to correct in love. You know, maybe you've been there before, you've been corrected before, but it wasn't in love. You know, if someone told you the right thing, and you knew they were right, but man, you were just mad they told you because of the way they told you, right? They told you, man, they told you how it was and how it was going to be. They weren't gentle with their words. They didn't work their way, you know, around you. They just say, hey, you're wrong. Now get it right. You know, there's a lot of people like that. And sometimes we get our feathers ruffled because, you know, people don't tell us the way we wanted to hear. But, you know, truth is truth. And we ought to share it in love as believers. We ought to share it in love. We ought to have kindness in it. But we ought to also be able to receive it. We ought to be able to receive it if it's not done in the right way, if it's still truth. We ought to be able to receive it and say, hey, you know what? Maybe that wasn't done the right way. But man, I got to get that right in my life. You know, the Apostle Paul here was saying, hey, you got to do this in love. Look at verse number 5 here. Verse number 5, he says, he says, now the end. In fact, look at verse number 4, the last part of it. He says, this is the opposite of the false teachers. He says, rather than godly edifying, which in faith do so. He said, hey, the fables and the end genealogies, they just minister questions. But the truth, the doctrine, the true doctrine, it builds up in faith. So he said, that's what you ought to teach. In verse number 5, he says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of three things, a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. He says, you know what? The goal here is love. The goal here is love. When we speak the truth, we want to do it in love. We want to do it in compassion. We want to care for people. We want people to see when we speak to them to say, hey, I do care about you. Hey, I do want you to know that hell is real. And that's why I'm begging you to look at the Word of God and see that one day you will stand before Jesus Christ. One day you will give an account for your sins. And one day you will either go in the lake of fire or you'll spend forever with Jesus Christ. But you have to make that choice. Hey, people ought to hear the love in your voice. People ought to hear compassion. They ought to see that you care about them. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 says this, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. That's a pretty good speaker. The tongues of men and angels and have not charity. I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Man, I can be the best speaker ever. Man, I can just wax eloquent, but if I don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I can move mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Man, those are strong words. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You see, the thing about doctrine, truth, is those that have the truth are the only people that can really love. The ones that have the Word of God, that know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, you are the only ones that can truly love people in this world. Hey, the well-meaning Mormon can't really love people. hey, the well-meaning Catholic can't really love people. Man, they don't flesh, they can try to do their best. But they don't have the love of Christ residing in them. They don't have the power of God upon them. And you know, I'll tell you, it is important to understand that that is a heavy responsibility as a believer. You know, love comes out of a pure heart. It's a pure heart, he said. It's one's inner life must be clean. There must be an inward display of love that radiates to an outward display of love that people can see. It comes from a heart that is holy. He says it comes from a good conscience. You must have a conscience that is clean before God and before man. You've got to be right with God and man. He says it comes from a sincere faith, a faith that is not hypocritical, but it's genuine. It's a faith that is set upon God. It's not the wrong motives when you teach the truth of God's word. It's coming out of love, pure heart, a good conscience, sincere faith, that you want to see people know the truth, and you want to see the truth set them free. Man, you want to see them grow. It's not producing a set of rules here, right? That's not what he's talking about, just producing a set of rules. But he says, I want you to show love, produce love as you share the truth. The false teachings did not produce love. It only caused confusion. The whole reason for truth is that it changes you. It changes who you are. It changes people's directions. The whole reason to know that truth and to understand that is because it changes your life. And you know, believer, the more truth that we have from the Word of God, the more that we learn about God, the more that we learn about ourselves, the more we learn about this world in the biblical context here, the closer we grow to God. And the more truth that we have that we're accountable to share with others. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Here's what Apostle Paul said to the church of Ephesus, okay? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He says, hey, church of Ephesus, stop being tricked by every person that comes through the doors of your church. Hey, stop being tricked by every wind of doctrine, every new thing that comes in and say, I wonder if this is the Bible. I wonder if this is good. Stop it. Study the word of God for yourself. But then he says this, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. He says, you got to grow up. Grow up spiritually. Grow up into the Lord Jesus Christ and stop being tossed to and fro, back and forth when it comes to these doctrines here. Learn the word of God for yourself. He's saying to Timothy, hey, you got to learn, young preacher. You got to learn. You know, this is a huge contrast. A huge contrast here to other teachings here that they're doing in this passage. Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now this is in chapter 4 where Paul mentions this later on, but he says, Timothy, I'm still telling you, you got to be preaching doctrine. You got to be preaching right truth. Again, this is a total contrast to the false teachers. Timothy, first of all, what does he say? Timothy, take heed to what? Thyself. The false teachers aren't worried about themselves. False teachers aren't worried about how they look. Pharisees weren't worried about how they looked, right? And they were worried about everybody else. False teachers are worried about other people, and they're good at pointing fingers, and they're good at finding problems in people's lives. But Paul says, Timothy, you take care of yourself. You take care of the doctrine. You study the Word of God. You know the truth. Take care of yourself. Then you can stand by the truth and defend it. And he says, you will save yourself in this tough situation, right? This tough situation in the church. I want you to see the final tonight. The last thing about this charge is I want you to see the departure. The departure from the charge. You know, there's a group in here, a group in this passage of Scripture that departed from this charge, that didn't listen, okay? There always isn't a church, sadly, but departed from this charge and didn't listen to the truth of God's word. You know, there's false teachers. There's three characteristics I want you to see that are true of these false teachers, and it's true of false teachers today. If you want to identify and you're going on YouTube and seeing certain things, well, there's a couple different things. Obviously, you need to know it lines up with the Word of God. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, that's the main thing, right? You've got to know that it's lining up with the Word of God. If it's contradicting the Word of God, guess what? Shut them off, you know, turn them off. Stop listening to them, you know. Don't do it because the Word of God is the authority. But here are some characteristics of false teachers, okay? Here's some characteristics. First of all, I want you to see this false teaching. It was intentional. This wasn't by accident, okay? It wasn't like these false teachers came in and said, you know, I think that this is actually scripture, these fables. I think that these endless genealogies, you know what they are? This is gospel. This is exactly what Jesus, no, they wanted, okay? They wanted to be able to teach people themselves. They wanted people to say, oh man, what a great teacher. What an incredible thought there. Oh, that's new. I never thought of it that way. You know, someone once told me a long time ago, if in the Bible, if you didn't think about it a certain way on a simple passage of scripture, then it's probably all right because it's probably not the right interpretation, okay? There are other parts of scripture that are very tough, okay? There's other ones that, you know, there's questions about, but there's some simple ones that I'm amazed at the interpretations, the false interpretations that come out of a passage. I mean, John 3:16, you know, I was telling my buddy who was a Calvinist in college, you know, I said, how do you describe John 3:16 as a Calvinist? I just don't get it. And he said, for God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only begotten son. That sounds like everybody. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So I told my friends who were Calvinists, I said, that sounds like everybody. How can you tell me from the Bible? He said, well, that means that's the elect world. I said, where's that? Where's that Greek? You know, the elect world. It's not there. You see, you're adding to the word of God. And there's passages that may lean towards other ones, but that's why you take the scriptures and you balance scriptures with each one, but you do not add to the word of God. You don't add to try to prove your point. You stick to the word of God. You know, it was intentional. In fact, the word here is this, they swerved. Look at this, they said, from which have some having swerved have turned aside, have swerved, they have gone off the path. That's the idea, again, is the idea that they intentionally missed the mark. They didn't try to aim. They didn't try to get that bullseye. They intentionally said, you know what, I know that's the mark, I see it, but I'm swerving around it. They didn't want to teach it. They intentionally did that. You know, I mentioned some folks tonight here, just kind of some false teachers, but I know there's different, you know, things that maybe teenagers, young teenagers will listen to, you know, some maybe newer age preachers or something. Be careful. Be careful, because there's a lot of things out there and you're not ready. Honestly, there's some things out there you're not ready to swallow some of that stuff, because some of that stuff sounds good until you really look into the Word of God and study it and say, oh, that's not really the Bible. I'm thinking of a man who has a church, you know, and some of my relatives, they like him, and I was talking to my relatives saying, hey, that guy's actually not good at all. He's really against the Bible. And I was able to share some things with them, and they said, oh, wow, okay, didn't know that, didn't hear that message. But that's important to know those things and be able to do that. I want you to see false teaching. It was intentional. They swerved aside. But I want you to see also it was detrimental. It was detrimental. You know, the Bible says that it was vain jangling. They turned aside to what? It wasn't some amazing truth, new truth from the Word of God. It was vain jangling. The word means empty talk, useless talk, or wasteful talk. The laws and the tradition became more important than Christ. Their purpose for being there and their conversations now centered around this empty talk. You know, they wanted to be teachers of the law, but they didn't really understand what it really meant to teach the law. That's what the Bible says here. They didn't really understand, not understanding what they even taught themselves. They had questions themselves. You know, false teachers out there, they're not saved. They still have questions about their own teaching. They still have insecurities about their own teaching. A lot of them, why? Because it's not truth. It's not grounded in the Word of God. It was detrimental. It was destructive to the church. False teaching is intentional here. It's detrimental. I want you to see finally here, it was egotistical. It was egotistical. What the Bible says, the desire in their heart was to be teachers of the law. They want to be teachers of the law. They desired to teach the Word of God, and yet they didn't even know. Okay, they didn't know the law. That's the idea. They didn't understand the full law. They said, I just want to be teachers of the law. I want people to see us. Remember Diotrephes in 3 John? Remember Diotrephes? Remember John tried to reach out to him and tried to say, hey, let me speak to you. And John says, hey, Diotrephes wouldn't even answer me. He wouldn't even let me in the church. Why? Because he loved the preeminence. I mean, he wanted to be the center stage. He had a big old head. He had a big old ego. And he wanted people to look at him and say, wow, Diotrephes, you're incredible. Man, where'd you learn that? Where'd you get that? You know, that's amazing. And you know what? John says, hey, stay away from him. Later on those verses there in 3 John, stay away from him. Get away from him. It's all about him. Now, there's people in the ministry, again, that, man, it's about them. It's about what they're teaching, and it's about their name. Ministry ought not to be about any person but Jesus Christ. You know, I think it's pretty neat at camp sometimes. You know, little kids will go up and they'll say, can you sign my Bible? You know, I'm like, okay, sure, you know. Can you sign? I had a girl this past week say, hey, can you sign my T-shirt? You know, I wasn't even preaching. I was just with my kid, you know. I was just going around, sign my T-shirt, you know. I thought, okay, I don't know who you are, but some of you counselors know what I'm talking about. You have those kids just randomly go to people. Can you, you know, what are they trying to do? They just want any random person to come up to them and just want to sign their T-shirt. They don't know who you are. They don't care, you know. As many names as I can get on their T-shirt, right? You know, sometimes, you know, growing up, we had people in church that, you know, we preach, and a lot of the guys would go afterwards, and even teenagers would go up and say, hey, can you sign my Bible, right? Can you sign my Bible? Can you do that? Hey, it's all right to say, hey, I like that guy's preaching. Hey, I like that guy's, you know, personality. It's all right to do that. We're never worshiping a person, amen? We're never worshiping a personality. Hey, we're never focused on an individual. When the Word of God is preached, I don't care the personality. I don't care your focus, what you like and what you think is good. If the person is preaching the Word of God, thus saith the Lord, that's good preaching. That's good Bible teaching, the Word of God. And so I want to focus on that. I get a mindset that, man, listen. Listen for truth being spoken in the Word of God. You know, I heard the story by John Phillips. John Phillips tells a story about a woman and her child that were traveling on a train. They were traveling on a train, and they hadn't traveled on this train before, and they're a little nervous, and they sat down next to a salesman there, and the salesman was talking with them, and they explained the stop that they were getting off on, and he said, oh, don't be nervous. I got the stop. Don't worry about it. I've traveled this route so many times. I know exactly. Okay, I know exactly what we're doing here, okay? So, and he said, we'll get you safely there. I'll tell you exactly when you get there. She said, well, the conductor told us, he'd tell us. And he said, no, don't worry. I got you. I'll tell you, because I know for sure. And so they stopped, and the man said, hey, woke the girl up, woke the mother up, and said, hey, you can get off now. You can get off off the train. This is your stop. And so they got out, and the man helped them out with the luggage. The salesman helped them out, and it was dark, and nobody else was there. Okay, it was snowing bad, and it should have been a sign there. And the story, as I read the story, nobody was there, okay? But he says, okay, don't worry. Somebody will be here soon, okay? So we'll be here soon. Just wait here. And he got back on. Well, it wasn't too long after that they stopped again, and the conductor came back and said, hey, where's that mother and daughter? It's their stop. And he said, no, their stop was back there. And the conductor said, no. He said, you know, we had to stop for emergencies. We had to stop. That was not a stop, okay? That was on the side of the road of nowhere. And so they ended up going back. By the time they got back, the mother and the daughter were frozen. The story is just frozen dead. What were they? They were victims of false information. That's tragic. I mean, that's tragic. Someone losing their life. False information. There's a lot of people in churches today that are being filled false information. And the truth is this, they're not physically dead right now, but they're spiritually dead. Hey, they're lost without Christ, and if they die, they'll spend an eternity in the lake of fire because they're being fed over and over again, being fed false information. Hey, doctrine is so important. Paul said, Timothy, you have to understand, I charge you, I command you as a military general, I command you to speak the truth and to speak it in love. Hey, truth clarifies things up. It clarifies things up. And then false doctrine confuses and stirs up problems. Doctrine matters. Now, tonight, as we finish tonight, I want to just ask you this. I just have two thought-provoking questions, and we'll be done tonight. Two questions. First of all, are you content to let others do the work of studying God's Word? I want you to let that sink in for a second here. Are you content to let others do the work of studying God's Word? I'm not asking about reading your Bible, okay? We're not talking about, hey, reading your Bible. We know we're all supposed to read our Bible. We're all supposed to be reading the Word of God. But I'm asking you this. Are you content to let others study the Word of God? You say, well, Pastor, I'm not a preacher. You know, I don't have a college degree, or I don't have a Bible program to do these kind of things or commentaries. You know, we're all called to study the Word of God. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I understand that he's writing to a young preacher here, a young pastor here. But I want to tell you, each one of us here are called as believers to study the Word of God. You say, where do you see that? Well, the Bible says in Acts 17, verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. We're not talking about preachers here anymore. We're not talking about pastors anymore. We're talking about believers. They said, hey, you know what? They got in the Word of God, and they readily read the Word of God and said, you know, is this true? Is this true? The Word of God they had there in the book of Acts, they were able to look at that and say, is this true what Paul's teaching us? Is he really telling us the truth? Is this what he's saying? And they studied the Word of God, and they learned it on their own. You know the best ways of learning the Word of God? It's teaching it. It is. It's teaching it to others. Why? When you teach it, it comes into your mind, and it seems to stick a lot better when you teach it yourself. Each one of us. You say, well, I'm going to have the gift of teaching and preaching. I'm talking about taking that time individually. You know, dads, teaching the Word of God, studying the Word of God to your family, and teaching it, and breaking down truth for your family so they can understand it. Breaking it down at family devotion and say, hey, here's what the Word of God says, and here's what we need to do as a family. What are you doing? You're studying the Word of God. Do you study the Word of God for yourself, where you really rely on other people. You rely on podcasts. You rely on YouTube videos. You rely on sermons and say, hey, that's how I get really to know the Word of God. Hey, those things aren't bad. But we ought to study the Word of God. We ought to read the Word of God for ourselves. You know, reading's a lost art today. It really is. It seems like the generation coming up just not learning to read. They're not learning to spend time reading. Well, we ought to read the Word of God and study it for ourselves. Second question here. Do you love the Word of God? Do you love the Word of God? Psalm 119, 15 through 16 says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I love that word, delight. You know, I will delight myself in thy statutes. When's the last time you delighted in reading the Word of God? Man, you delight. When you read the Word of God, man, you got up, you were excited about reading God's Word. You were excited about the next part in the book you're going through and the next study you're going through in the morning. Man, you were just like, I can't wait to do that. There ought to be a delight. There ought to be a desire in your heart. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. You know, even children, when they read their Bible, when they start reading the Bible, there's a joy that's like a light bulb. Hey, I learned this, Mom. Dad, I learned this about God. Hey, I got this. And sometimes as parents, we're rebuked because we're like, whoa, they're reading the Bible and getting that? What about me? You know, what where's my joy? I know it's important to read the Bible, but where's my joy? We ought to delight in reading the Word of God. You know, something we did a couple weeks ago, Michael Jones was out there. Michael Jones was out there, and he did this thing I thought was awesome. He had everyone get with a partner, and he said, hey, after the message, you talk about the Word of God, how important it was. But he said, hey, somebody get with a partner and say, hey, you pray together and make a decision that you're gonna do that, that you are going to read the Word of God, that you're going to get back in the Word of God, you're going to get your joy back, and ask the Lord to do that. You know, it was amazing. We watched, you know, teenagers do that together, and then I got a tap on my shoulder. And my one of my daughters tapped me and said, hey, Dad, I want to do that. I want to read the Word of God. Yeah, I want to do that. I want to have that joy. I had another daughter that was there and said, Dad, I want to do that too. So I sat down separately with each one of them first, and I prayed with them. I said, Lord, what do you want to do? You know, every single morning, I tell them, put your Bibles on your pillows. We're young. Put your Bibles on your pillow. But you know what? I want them to know the Word of God. Amen. And that before breakfast, you know, I get out and I say, hey, have you read your Bible? They'll say, sometimes in the last 2 weeks, they've said, oh, no, I haven't. I've got to run back. And I'll say, yeah, bad. I already read it. Here's what I learned. It was good. And I've been telling them, hey, don't just read it to read it. Read it so that the truth will change you. Read it so it changes you. You know, as adults, sometimes, again, we get so busy. We get busy. I mean, we have busy lives. And we get so busy with kids. I know mothers, and my wife, it's amazing. We get so busy with jobs, men. We get so busy with our projects around the house. We get so busy with this or that. But, you know, we don't take time to truly study the Word of God and say, you know what? I got amazing truth here. I got amazing doctrine. I want to share it with others. I want others to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want others to know this truth, and I want to be able to learn it myself so I can grow, and that way I can help others. So I'm going to just encourage you tonight to maybe make a decision tonight and say, maybe I haven't been delighting in the Word of God. Maybe I haven't been really thankful for the Word of God, loving it like I should. Or maybe I haven't been studying it like I should, I've been relying on other people. But this week, you know what? I'm going to get in God's Word. And I'm going to make a decision. You know what? Doctrine matters. The whole truth, right? The whole truth of the Word of God. And nothing but the truth of God's Word this week. Father, thank you so much for the Word. Thank you for the power of it. Lord, I pray for each believer here tonight, Lord, under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, you help them to understand. Lord, I know that my voice is feeble. I know that my notes are feeble, Lord. But your word is amazing. And the Holy Spirit is incredible in conviction. Lord, I pray you do your work in hearts tonight. And I pray that you would just challenge, convict. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage as well. Lord, we do pray for us as a church, Lord, that we continue to stay true to the Word of God. I pray for each individual in our church that each man, woman, and child would make that decision to stay true to the Word of God. And Lord, help us to love the Word. Heads bowed and eyes closed, no around this evening, but I'm going to tell you.